Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, National Award-winning Investor of the Year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I want to have a discussion with you about something I came up with 30 years ago when I first started investing. That was, and is today, the three rules of investing, which I've outlined for 30 years. And as I go into these three rules and cover them today, I want to start off by just discussing the fact that I'm really irritated to some degree. And I don't know what degree I'm actually allowed to be irritated about something like this. It really has nothing to do with me. But I'm very irritated about the fact that I have to keep watching these commercials with Robert Kiyosaki and two or three other idiots that all call themselves financial superstars, and for some reason, I have no idea why, all telling you that silver is where you should put all your money. They used to do this with gold all the time, and now they're doing it with silver. Somebody's paying them a boatload of money to make these commercials, and I guess we all know why. I mean, obviously, they're getting paid to do it. It's a job for them. But do they not have any credibility as being financial self-help gurus? That's what he is, financial planners for the other guys, whatever they are. Doesn't anybody have any self-respect to want to tell people on radio and TV the truth? I just don't understand that. It just blows my mind. It boggles my mind to the utmost that people will just lie. And they are lying through their teeth. The concept that silver is a safe investment is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Silver, if you look at its pricing, and I've got the price index here over the last period of time, this stuff goes up and down like you wouldn't believe it. Now, what is safe about stuff that goes up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down? You go, well, it could, and this is what they say, it could be in a position that if it did go back up to its highest ever, it could double. Well, that also means that from its highest, it's already half of what its highest was. Think about that. Just think about what they're saying. If it ever goes back up to its peak, it will double in value, which means just use your brain, people. It's at half of what it was at some point that some idiot bought it, and it's now at 50 cents on the dollar what they paid for it. Now, come on. Do you not understand that that's what they're saying? And they're saying now, if you're smart enough and or lucky enough, and probably neither, that it goes up again, you could make some money as far as value. This is ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. It brings me to rule number one in my three rules. Rule number one is never lose money. You say, Del, that's impossible. It's impossible to never lose money. No, it is not impossible to never lose money. It's very possible to never lose money. In fact, there are different kinds of investments where they guarantee you will never lose money. There's actually guarantees in them. I'm thinking one off the top of my head is the annuity advertisements where you buy a new annuity that goes up every year. The stock market goes up, but stays the same if the stock market goes down. So there is stuff that doesn't go down in value. There is also the reality of timing. With real estate, the reason I don't ever lose money in real estate is, number one, it's how you buy it that makes the difference, not how you sell it. If you buy it right, then you're always going to be okay. But number two, it's the timing of the issue. And timing is one of those things that you don't buy real estate to try to time it. You don't buy it to buy and flip and hold for a month or a week or a year. You buy it to hold it for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And during that time, adjacent values may go up and down, but your value doesn't go up and down because you didn't sell it. And so if you don't sell it, it never goes up and down. The adjacent values might go up and down, but you always have the ability to wait. Now, the difference is when you're buying stocks and bonds, the price can change in a nanosecond. I say buying stocks is like shooting yourself with a gun, or somebody threatens to kill you. I'm going to kill you with this gun, and you know you're going to die. It's going to get you if they want to get you. But I say that buying real estate is like somebody trying to kill me with a train. Dell, if you don't watch out, I'm going to run you down with my train. And I'm going to go, really? Wow. It only comes from one direction? And I can see it miles away? And I only have to move 4 feet to get off the track. I don't think you're going to kill me with your train. I think that you're not going to be able to hurt me at all. I'll just let that train go by and get back on the track again. In other words, I won't sell if there's some kind of a movement in the market that I don't like. I'll just get off the track, not be a buyer or seller for a while, and get back on again. And I've done that for 30 years. I've picked a year or two here and there where I just didn't buy anything, didn't sell anything. It happens. But I never lose any money. I had one deal where I didn't make any money, but that's because I bought the worst possible real estate you could possibly buy. And it was so terrible, I bought it for next to nothing, almost literally nothing. And I turned around and sold it for almost literally nothing because it was the worst real estate I've ever bought. And it was like the worst day and the best day of your life. The day you bought it, it was the best day of your life until you realized what you had. Then it was the worst day of your life. And you sold it, and that was the best day of your life. But I never lost any money with it. So rule number one, don't lose money. Is, to me, it doesn't make any sense. Where do you get money from? You get money from working for it. You want to go and do all that work? I remember when I lost a lot of money in the stock market back when I was in my 20s, late 20s. And I said to myself, you know, I'm not ever going to do that again. I lost it during Black Monday. That was my birthday, in fact, which added insult to injury. But I said, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week to save hard and put my money aside so I can get ahead someday and then have someone just take it all away from me in one day. That was the day I gave up speculation. What is speculation? Well, it's gambling. Gold, silver are the most ridiculous investments you can possibly make. So let's talk about this. Number one, you don't want to speculate. If you ever want to be rich, don't always be living with the threat that tomorrow your wealth could be nothing or half of what it is. Rule one, don't lose money. Own hard assets that don't devaluate. Now, number two, why would you even consider an investment unless it paid you some money? Why would you take your hard-earned money and stick it somewhere unless it paid you money? That's the whole rule. That's the whole idea. Rule number two is there must be cash flow. And it's really, really important to understand that the only way you're ever going to retire is if you can replicate your earned income with passive income cash flow. The thought that you're going to save your way to retirement is a ridiculous concept. Because no matter how big the pile of money is, the pile of money can go away just as fast or faster than you put it there. And every time you spend out of it, it gets smaller. As opposed to owning assets that produce income, which means you never touch your assets. So every year when I buy something new, last year I bought 7 grocery stores, okay? Every year when I buy a new piece of real estate of some kind, that asset's in my portfolio. It stays there. I have one apartment complex that I bought. I think I paid $22 million for it. And I'm looking at another one right now that's the exact same size in a similar part of town, very close to each other, and selling for $34 million. From $22 million to $34 million, that's a $12 million gain in 2 years. But that is appreciation. That's capital gains. That's not cash flow. But the property itself produces about $600,000 a year in cash flow. So when you look at this situation, you say, okay, can you live on $600,000 a year out of one property? Sure. Sure I could. I don't need to because I have multiple properties. In fact, I was going to tell you how many. I don't even know how many. I actually just sold one the other day, too. You know, the bottom line is that if you don't have cash flow, so what is cash flow? Well, silver has no cash flow. Gold has no cash flow. And I was reading up on dividend stock dividends. Some stocks pay dividends, but that's been hovering down around zero. Companies have started cutting their dividends back to zero because they're having problems. So I looked at something that has to have cash flow. It's called bonds. So I looked up bonds, and this is the kind of rate of return that bonds are earning. A 3-month bond is earning 1.1 tenth of a percent. 1/10 of a percent. It's not even earning 1%. It's earning 1/10 of 1%. A 6-month bond is 2.6 tenths of a percent. 12 months. If you leave your money in there for 12 months, you can get 4/10. Savings accounts. I have online savings accounts that are paying 0.5%. 5-year bond is 1.25% rate of return. A 10-year, if you leave your money in there for 10 years, you can earn 1.36%. And if you're willing to leave it in there 30 years, you can earn 1.88%. So the apartment complex I'm looking at right now, it earns 3% rate of return. That's what it's selling for. The price is so high, the cash flow return is only 3%. Now, get this. That is less than what the mortgage interest rate is. The mortgage interest rate is 3.5% if I put a mortgage on it. So it doesn't even pay to put a mortgage on it because I'm not even earning enough to cover the mortgage. That's pretty crazy stuff, huh? But that's how high real estate is right now. And it's getting higher and continuing to go higher. But it's still got 3%. So how much is 3%? Well, compared to a 30-year mortgage, it's twice as much. Compared to a 1-year bond, it's 600% higher. 600% higher than a 1-year bond. Huh. Doesn't sound so bad when you define it that way, right? Kind of crazy. Where else can I put my money? Well, I could put in some bonds. Oh, yeah, we'll get 0.4%. I could put in a savings account, get 0.5%. Or I can earn 3. But now, if you look a little deeper, and there is more to it than that, you look at the fact that you have depreciation to offset that income, so you don't have to pay taxes on it. All these other incomes I've talked about so far, you have to pay taxes on. But with real estate, we get depreciation to cover the income. Whereas I'm in the 41-42% tax bracket because I make extremely large amount of money, puts me in the very high tax bracket. For me to make this money and not have to pay taxes on it, it covers $1 million worth of taxes minimum if I don't accelerate the depreciation. Now, if I accelerate it, it'd probably be $2 or $3 million. That means I can earn $1 million or $2 million more each year without paying taxes on it. Whew. Well, $1 million, even just $1 million, that's $400,000 worth of taxes I don't pay. Now, when I buy real estate, I don't buy it for the short term. I buy it forever. The real estate deals will outlive me. And I'll probably die and the real estate still be there for my wife and my kids. It's not going anywhere. And it keeps making money. You have to realize that. Then when you go, wow, you get another $1 million, so add $400,000 onto that. You go, ooh. So now I was making $600,000 in cash flow and you add another $400,000 to it. Now it's $1 million a year gain. Now it's not too bad. I will tell you this, it's a lot better than a bond. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited members share their stories and strategies for success at case study events.
If you got laid off tomorrow, what would you do? Would you have to be working at McDonald's or wait to try and find another job with the downsizing, the economy? Kept on coming to meetings, even with David Fisher online and stuff like that, but still, we just like, we need to make the jump.
So we kept praying for time to get this job done, to be able to find the properties. How do we find the properties? How do you find the time? And God answered our prayers, and he got downsized from his corporate job.
But they didn't buy just one house, right?
No, they did not. You're rehabbing house number
9 right now.
9.
Wow.
So every month, the cash flow is $3,200. Okay, the equity of all the houses is up to $280,000.
Join us this month and learn from people just like you. Check in person and online dates at lucasestudy.com. That's lucasestudy.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing my 3 rules of investing. We've already covered rule number 1, which is don't lose money. And people laugh when I tell them don't lose money. They go, there's no way you can not lose money. You absolutely don't have to lose money. Absolutely don't have to lose money. Rule number 2 is there has to be cash flow. And they don't even understand that they're putting money into things like their house that doesn't pay them a dime. They're putting money into IRAs, which doesn't pay them a dime. They're putting money into 401ks, which doesn't pay them a dime. They're putting money into gold and silver, which doesn't pay them a dime. So they're making no return. The only thing they have is a speculative opportunity, which leads now to rule number three. Rule number three, again, is rather controversial. It is you can't get rich slow. Somebody wrote a book a long time ago, which was just complete, utter nonsense. It was The Millionaire Next Door, I think is the name of the book. And what it was basically saying was that most people become millionaires by buying a home and paying it off over 30 years and letting it go up in value over 30 years, putting money into their 401k over 30 years, and putting money into IRAs over long periods of time. And slowly but surely, over this 30, 40, 50-year period of time, they accumulate $1 million. Well, you have to understand something. That's not rich in this day and age. $1 million is nothing. Let me tell you about $1 million. I first thought I was a millionaire when I owned $1 million worth of real estate, even though I had $900,000 worth of debt on that real estate and only had $100,000 in equity. I had $1 million worth of real estate, so I thought I was a millionaire. Eventually, I got to where I owned $10 million worth of real estate and $9 million of it was debt. So I had $1 million worth of equity. So again, I considered myself a millionaire. And then 1 year, I did a deal, a transaction, where I earned $1 million by selling a large piece of real estate, I think apartment complex. And so I made $1 million in 1 year. And then I realized those other things of being a millionaire were not really being a millionaire in the true sense of the word. You've got to make $1 million. You'll never save $1 million. You have to make $1 million. That's another one of my sayings. You'll never save $1 million. You have to go make $1 million. Well, then I made $1 million a year. Then I made $2 million a year. Then I made $3 million. It just kept going up. And it got to the point where I was making $1 million a month. And then I started to see, man, that's interesting. That's a millionaire. Someday I'll probably make $1 million a week. I don't know. I'm not there now, but possible. But the point I'm making to you is that we think way, way smaller. I remember Ross Perot was running for president, and he had his vice president picked out already. His guy's name was Major Applewhite. Never forget that name. And Barbara Walters was interviewing Major Applewhite. And she said, "Do you think it's fair for a millionaire to run for president?" And Applewhite started laughing. She goes, "What's wrong?" He goes, "Ross Perot's not a millionaire. He's a billionaire. Ross Perot makes $1 million a day." And Barbara Walters just about fell down. The point he's making is that don't insult me by calling me a millionaire. And actually, he was calling Ross Perot a millionaire. Don't insult him by calling him a millionaire. He's a billionaire. And a billion is 1,000 million. Think about that. 1,000 million. There are people on this earth that are worth $80 billion. Whew. Mind-boggling. That's more than many, many, many countries' total net worth of the entire country. It's just mind-boggling. But again, you don't get there by saving. It won't ever take you there. It's not going to happen. You have to go make your $1 million. You have to go make your $1 million a year. You have to go make your $1 million a month. You have to go make it. You have to do something to earn it. You have to invest correctly or own a company that's profitable. You have to make money to get really rich. You can't save your way to wealth. Now, like I just told you, on this apartment I bought 2 years ago, and I bought it for $22 million, and now I'm looking at one exactly like it, almost exactly like it, for $34 million. So that's $12 million more. Now, when I bought that property, I put $9 million down payment and assumed the mortgage on this one. Well, I had $9 million out of pocket, $9.3 million or something like that, and it's gone up $12 million in value. So that's over 100%. It's about 130%, and split over 2 years, it's about 65% a year, I think. 65% a year. Now you go back to those bond numbers, and you go a tenth, 1/10 of a percent. Wow. That really puts it in perspective. Really puts it in perspective. So what's happening in real estate? Why is this so strange? What's happened is real estate values have gone so high because there's really no other place to put your money right now that actually is safe and has cash flow and increases in value at a very rapid rate. So we were paying, people have been paying more and more to buy investment real estate. The more you pay for it, either the rent has to grow as fast as the price does, or your rate of return is going to go down because the more you pay for the same rate of return, same amount of money in dividends and cash flow, means your rate of return is going down. Well, that's what's happened. When I first started buying real estate, we were buying it with a 20 cap rate. And a cap rate is how much money it makes if you don't have any leverage on it. So we started with 20 cap rates. And for the most of my career, I'd say of the 30 years I've been doing real estate investing, it's 32 years now, I would say 30 of the 32 years until just the last two or three years, cap rates were around 10. Ah, no, they've been going up fast. Let's say for 20 of my 30 years, they were at 10%. So you made it 10%. Now, if you leverage that, you could make 15 or 20%. But that was just what they paid, even if you paid cash for it and didn't use leverage. They're now in the threes. Yeah, that's right. They're in the 3% range. And so, man, that's not a lot of cash flow. Now, it's still 600% higher than your bond, but it's not get-rich-quick kind of money. But the difference is that because the prices have been going up so radically fast that the capital gains are through the roof. And so what you don't gain as far as cash flow anymore, you're getting more of in the capital gains. I had bought one property that I held for 15 years, and I bought it at $10,000 a door, and I sold it at $30,000 a door, which is 300% higher. But I held it for 15 years, so 300 divided by 15, that's 20% a year was my capital gains on that over a 15-year period of time. But that's still a lot better than 0.1%. You just got to be able to look at that and see. So the three rules, I stick to them always. Never lose money. There always must be cash flow. And you can't get rich slow. There it is. You get started. You earn some cash flow while you're working. Build up your cash flow to where you can retire. And keep building up your portfolio and making large, long-term capital gains that make you wealthier and wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. A lot of times, the syndicators that we have at Lifestyles will sell a property and give everybody their money back and a gain. The people go, well, why did you sell it? Well, we got you a gain and we gave you back your money. No, I don't know what to do with this money now. What do I put the money? I'm not making anything with it. And it's really interesting how that becomes the way you start to see things. I don't want the money. I want the cash flow from the money. That's what I need. If I take the money, then I'll start using the money and then I won't have the money. So I don't want the money. I want the cash flow that comes from the money. As I started with today, I just want to tell you that I'm really irritated with this one commercial that comes on TV all the time about silver. I think Robert Kiyosaki is the only guy. If there's four guys on it, I don't know who the other guys are. They're nobodies to me. Supposedly, they're supposed to be somebodies because they're using them as experts. But I've seen Robert Kiyosaki, and I just think it's a darn shame that somebody that's been around as long as he has to go on TV and lie to people about silver being safe. There's nothing safe about silver. As he even says in his own estimate, it's down 50% from its high. How can something be safe that's down 50% from its high? Where somebody else bought it, by the way. Again, because of their recommendation. Silver's going up, 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 up. You need to get on it while it's going up, 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 up. So it got up there. They bought it. Boom. Dropped in half. How is that safe? And how do these guys even look at themselves in the mirror when they get on those TV commercials and say that stuff? Again, I want you to hate this commercial as bad as I do. When they get on there and say, if silver gets back to its original high, its previous high, then it is poised to double in value. Do you not understand what that means? If it's going to double in value just to get back to where it was, that means it's lost half of its value. Now listen to that commercial again the next time you hear it. Listen carefully and see if you are not embarrassed that these grown men are on TV lying to people by saying that silver is safe, that it's a hedge for going broke. It's a hedge for inflation, all of which is a lie. Bottom line is this, guys. We don't do this so that we have a lot of money. We do this so that we make a lot of money, and we do it without getting up and going to work every day. It's not the money. It's the quality of the lifestyle that makes the difference. And if you understand that, then you truly understand the point I'm trying to make.
Now more intel from the files of Del Walmsley.
I found a book by a gentleman that went from 400 pounds down to 200 pounds to become Mr. Universe. Bruce Randall's his name, so you can look that name up. See that I'm not making this up. And I read the guy's book, and now I could not only conceive, I could believe. It had been done. There it is. Before and after pictures, the story, the diet, the exercise, everything. So now I could conceive, believe, and eventually achieve. Now the most important thing that the next year and a half did for me while I lost all that weight and became one of the strongest kids in the nation and definitely won almost every strength contest I ever went to at that part of my age against people my own age. What I realized was not that I was a good bodybuilder, a good powerlifter, a good Olympic lifter, which I did all of them, but it wasn't, isn't what I perceived. I never was going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. I could see that. I didn't have the genetics for it. But what I perceived was I had learned the secret to something. Now, I had not yet read Think and Grow Rich, but I knew that I had wrapped my arms around the secret of life, which was what? Whatever the mind of man can conceive, believe, it can achieve. As long as it goes out and gets the specific knowledge it needs from someone who's been there. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.